world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail.
Hello, welcome to our Season 7, Episode 27.
Spinomite!
Oh, God.
This title is inspired by a sticker I used to have when I was little that said Dynomite on it. This is my life now. There was, like, so little to work with this week. I mean, the episode didn't have much that I could remember. There was two episodes missing. So, I don't remember what the news is, if there is any news.
Good times.
So, you know how it is.
So yeah, welcome to this superhero timeless, flashless episode. Two-thirds of that is devastating. One-third of that I could care less. it does suck not having X-Aid, though. Like, especially, like, getting... Like, I got the Gekitotsu Robot Gashat here because I just got my HLJ box. And it's like, oh, cool. That episode was really neat. I wonder what happens this... Oh.
It's funny because it kind of, I think, shows what, in general, the fandom's priority is. Because, like, all of the people that either tweeted it or, like, the quote-unquote news sites that mentioned it will be like, remember, there's no X-Aid this week, but they never mentioned Jiwoger. So, like, I kept meaning to ask somebody, like, oh, or is Jiwoger on this week, or look it up, and, like, no one even cared to mention that it's not on. And I was, like, kind of, like, low-key outraged that Jiwoger would be on, but X-Aid wouldn't be. But it ended up being both.
But, yeah, so, I guess moving into the 1-ups, I got my HLJ box, like I just said. I got here today. I really should have got here yesterday, because it would have made... sitting through election results a lot nicer to have new toys to play with, but
Pert happily.
Like, it's weird because the box itself had a lot of cool stuff in it, like the Gekitotsu Robot Gashat, like I said, the Gashacon Magnum was in it, the Snipin Genom level up figures, the new Ultraman. I think that's the last Ultraman card set.
Forever.
A little book to put my Digimon chips in.
Mine are in a box, just a cardboard box.
And so, like, all that was really cool, but I really just wanted the box because I bought Masterpiece Optimus Primal, and I've just seen reviews and pictures, like, all over Twitter and the Transformers sites I go to, and I'm just like, oh, it's so good, I need it. And I'm like, oh, and, like, I delayed my HLJ shipment, like, about a week, I think. I didn't have money to pay for shipping at the time. So I was like, I'll just wait until I get paid, and then I'll ship everything out. And so I had to, like, wait another week, and so I'm seeing more people get theirs. I'm like, oh, my God. And so, it finally got here, and I've been playing with him all day, and he's so good. I've been, like, casually collecting the Masterpiece figures since I got Soundwave a while back. And so it's kind of like one of those things where I'm like, oh, I could probably stop getting these, but they're really cool. And then they're like, oh, here's the Optimus Primal. I'm like, well, not leaving now.
Just when you think you're out.
And they announced Cheetor, and I'm really hoping they do Dinobot. If they do Dinobot, I would probably just die.
I might, like, die, probably.
In the best way, but he's a fantastic figure. The Beast Mode, other than, like, being a clunky toy, looks as close to the animation model as it possibly could be, given how it needs to transform. And the Robot Mode is absolutely spectacular, so it's like, it's so good. But yeah, that's been me. Haven't really been playing anything. I've been meaning to start the last Paper Mario game that came out Color Splash, but I just haven't gotten around to starting it yet. Because it's really hard to start things when it's on a console for me. But I'll get there eventually. But yeah, I don't think I've really been doing anything else. I've been working on videos every now and then just going, wow, these do shitty views, and then I get sad. It's my life.
Such is the life, really, when we think about it.
But yeah, I think that's it. Oh, I was at a... fuck. I was at a goddamn anime convention. last weekend doing Pokemon tournaments for the card shop that I do League at. They were doing all like the tabletop gaming and stuff, and so I was doing all the Pokemon tournaments down there. And that was super fun. I didn't get to do any panels or anything like that, not that I really wanted to. There was like a Sentai panel. I was like, this is probably going to be suffering, so I didn't even bother. But tournaments went really well. It was really fun. I went to the dealer hall, and we had about an hour down there, which is not enough time for a dealer hall, mind you. But I got this plush Pikachu that's in like a Snorlax sleeping bag, and it's the most adorable thing. It's my new best friend. The guy that owns the shop is basically like a clone of me. Like, he loves Snorlax. And he went down there earlier, and he came back up with one, and I was like, dude, I need that.
I'm gonna steal like, yours if you don't give it to me.
He's like, they're in the dealer hall, $40. I said, okay. I looked it up online quick. I was like, well, 40 is actually really reasonable for it.
And 40 so bucks? I'll give them 80. Just throws money at him. Just to make sure it's mine.
And so we got done with the tournament. Like, okay, we're going down to the theater hall. Bye. And so we just ran down there. And I was like, okay, I need to find Pikachu. And I found him. He's adorable. He's my new best friend. I love him. That's my story.
And that's my story. It just sounds like you're getting some sort of epic book chapter or something. Okay, let's see. There hasn't been a whole lot for me. I also got my HLJ box like at the end of last week, and like I had planned on reviewing the stuff, I mean semi right away, but like waiting a few days, but like I ended up like just having the energy and working on it like right away, which is what happened to work out really well because they've started to replace the paneling on my apartment complex. So like there's been a lot of banging all like day long. You know how it is. But it's been like annoying, and you know, they sing the ethnic songs of the people, so it's like banging and ethnic songs, and then it made me think of a funny bit where if like white people were construction working and had ethnic songs, they would just sing like Uyghur rap music. And I don't know. That's me entertaining myself. But so that's been happening. So I haven't been able to record anything else. Luckily, I don't have too much else to record, and like no superhero time made it so that I don't have any like vloggy type videos to film, and there's no candy to film. So I've kind of lucked out. It kind of gives me an excuse not to record, but there's like I have an excuse not to record because there's nothing to record. So it's kind of a catch 32. And I have been finishing games because I kind of need something to just distract myself while the noise is happening. So I did finish Titanfall. I think I mentioned I was almost done last week, and I literally had like one level left and I didn't realize it, but that was super fun. The campaign was awesome. I got to play a little bit of multiplayer before Infinite Warfare arrived, and I finished Infinite Warfare, which was pretty fun. And I got to do a little of the multiplayer, and now I'm doing the remaster of Modern Warfare, which is more difficult than I remember ish and it's funny because everyone always mentions that you have a hard time getting used to not being able to, like, superhuman jump, but I never really used that. It's kind of more all the aiming help you get. Like, in the modern ones, when you're aiming at stuff in the distance, it, like, lights it up for you green. And this one's, like...
Green.
Are you talking about, like, a urinal? Wait, I just hear you, like, when you're aiming in the distance, it lights up green. Are we peeing?
No, we're shooting.
I want to light up urinal.
It would be like the sequel to the shower thing, but like ever peeing in a stall and you're just bored out of your mind. It's the disco puck, and you just see people sitting there like dancing, just doing a bunch of moves, like the shopping cart, like whipping their hand over their head, just like the pee's flying everywhere, but at least they're having a good time. Just 3 easy payments of $19.99, and we'll include a second one free. Pay separate shipping and handling. Like, why do you say that so fast? Oh man, we could be rich.
Like, oh my god.
The funniest part to me now is just picturing like a stock actor peeing in a urinal and then putting it in black and white and making it seem more sad. So.
And then I picture it like the little like fairy glitter going across the screen and turning a color and they just got their dicks out.
It's just like, bring! What if they made a second version that was looked like a dartboard and you could like score and it would make noises? That would be amazing. Oh man, I bet someone thought of that and tried to make an infomercial for it. Classic.
Do you have trouble peeing?
Try the disco catheter. It's a catheter that lights up as the pee comes out. Hashtag datheter? No, we'll workshop it.
Do you have trouble peeing? The dude's all gray and like black and white, and you just see like, oh, it's like dicks just spraying around like a fire hose.
That's why I'm picturing the party, like. They're just waving it around.
Helicoptering it. You know how it is.
Why is this still happening?
Oh, man. So, that's my one-up. I mean, I didn't have too much else to say. Like, I was just going to say that I only have Dishonored before Pokemon comes out, so... Then I can go back to Skyrim.
8 days, ladies and gents.
I know. It seems almost more painful than, like, when the game was announced till now, because, I don't know. Like, it's so short yet so far.
It's so upsetting.
Well, especially for you, since you're not going to get to play it till mid-next year.
You're a whoremonger.
Like, I can just see the update, like, January 20th, 2018. Just got my third badge on Sun.
Brian, make him stop. He's being a penis.
Be nice.
It sounded like you said penis, but really slow. Be nice. To be honest.
Be nice can be the name of the disco thing.
There we go. Boom. This is an entire marketing pitch in the one-ups. Finally paying for this show to run. These props don't pay for themselves.
Oh, God.
Okay, so my turn to tell you what I did lately.
Thanks, Coda.
Okay, me turn.
Why you speak like that? You didn't even tell me what kind of character you are.
Coda Caveman.
Oh, okay.
Coda speak very funny. It okay because I take shirtless picture, post on Instagram.
Me real fan. You make Sentai reference. Love me. I taught my brother, do same. That's what they do.
Let's see.
Listening to an Ninja song while he works out, praise be he.
I got my cube whale and the rest of my gas hats in the mail, and I love them a lot. Cube whale's adorable.
Whale mode's the best. It
really is. It's sitting on my table as a whale right now, just chilling. And I love it. And the Gashats, like, I get the box, and it came on Saturday. I was at work, and I came home. I was all excited, like, oh, cool, my box could be here. And sure enough, I walk in the front door. There's my box on the floor waiting for me.
Like, there's sweet. My box. There's a good box.
That's how I treat my stuff. Pet it. Gave it a hug. I took it for a walk. I put a leash on it. So I bring it in the room. I stick it on the bed. I open it up. And Kaylee was there. I'm like, look, Kaylee. I pull out 3 Gashats. She, like, gets all excited. I think I put them down next to the box to get the whale out. She just starts immediately grabbing Gekitotsu robots and just starts, like, ripping the box open. I'm like, hang on. Calm down. Calm down. Fucking whale out the box.
Whoa, there's a process to this.
Process. I gotta get, like, the knife. Gotta open it. Gotta cut the tape real gentle-like.
It's against regulations.
You rip the box, you're buying me a new one.
Like, she just starts going rogue. But yeah, it's I love having like 6 cash hats now. It's so much awesomer than having one. These things are just so pretty. So that happened as well. And then I got the Ash Greninja card box because we went to Toys R Us and or something. I don't know what. But I was like, I want to buy some kind of card thing, and I really don't feel like spending a stupid amount of money while I'm here. So I got the Ash Greninja box. And then we went back 2 days later because we were going to do all the Christmas shopping for both of the girls. And my mother, it was like the shopping for my mother to gift them and us also, I guess. And for like Christmas and birthday or whatever. And she's like, oh, put it on the Toys R Us card. I'm like, sweet. Well, apparently my wife decided she was going to price match Toys R Us to Amazon. So by the time we were done, we saved like $240 off of price matching. She spent 20 minutes or so at the checkout because they started to get aggravated. So like the one lady came over to her, like the employee, and was like, oh, because she had screenshotted it. We're like, oh, here's some, like, you know, VTech something or other for Natalie. We screenshot it. Look, see, Amazon's got it for like $20 and you're selling it for like $30 or whatever. I don't know. So she would screenshot it, and so like, see, like, here we can price match this. Well, she came over and was like, oh, you can't take a picture. It has to be like the actual like live page that shows that it's in stock. She's like, you could say I took this 10 minutes ago. It says it right there, like, then 10 minutes ago. It's like, oh, no, I don't care. You have to, like, it's like, fine, I'll go through this. Like, I don't care. I'll stand here in line and do this all over again. So she stood in line and made everyone around her wait, which made me uncomfortable because I can't handle that kind of thing. Like,
whenever my mom does something like that, I just kind of casually walk away.
Yeah, so, like, I got Natalie and
Katie, I'm not even with this person.
I'm gonna go get a pizza.
Bagley, not Bagley. Check the notes.
So that was it. Then she went back and got a couple other things a couple of days later and saved another $40. So we saved $280 on Christmas presents by price matching.
It's because Toys R Us is a bunch of scam artists.
They really are.
Toys. Buy season Barnes one of Book and Target for $20. Buy it for $100 at Barnes and Noble.
That's why when I do things at Barnes and Noble, I like with DVDs, I never buy anything at like retail price. I wait till they do something like, "Hey, buy 2 DVDs, get 1 free," and then I have like a 20% off one item coupon, or like something insane like that. So I end up getting it for, you know, getting like 3 DVDs. And then it costs about as much or less than what I would get it for at a Target. That's how I got most of. I did that with all these Star Treks.
I got just buy it on Amazon. Like, it's a really good place to look at what you want to buy on Amazon.
Well, a lot of this, like, I haven't really bought DVDs at Barnes & Noble in a couple of years now. But I mean, like, that when I was buying all these like Star Trek seasons and everything else, and that's what I did. Is like, oh, they're $70 at Barnes & Noble, and
they should actually just pay you to buy those because they're just awful.
Oh, fuck you, brother. But, like, I was getting them buy two, get one free, and then I was getting, like, 20% off with my discount, and then I had would get used coupons, and if you divide it up, I was getting them for, like, $40. So, I was like, well, this is much better than this nonsense. And,
I like coupons.
In any case. Oh, yeah. By the time I would be coupons. Done. They practically were buying, paying me to buy shit. Buy shit. Let's see. I got my 4th badge on Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. That's fun.
See?
I'm... Now, hold on. That's not that too far away. But my goal right now, I'm going to have...
Oh, shit.
What?
Sorry. Nothing. I'm not doing anything.
Did something fall?
I did. Virtually.
Oh, okay.
I ran into someone also wall running. We headbutted each other in-game, which is like the most classic me thing to happen.
And then Dawson fell out of his chair.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
My goal is to have 6 badges by the time Sun and Moon come out, so I'm pretty on track for that. But I'm really enjoying this trip back through Hoenn. Like, Oras is so pretty. I love it. And I don't think I bought anything else. I have pre-ordered more Gashats for November and all the Geoja stuff, so that's all sitting at HLJ waiting. What?
Sorry. Nothing.
Oh. I know I got Jewel Bird Vinyl because that came out by itself last week for some stupid reason, because they can't just make toys come out together.
Alright.
It's really stupid because I think this week is like one guess, the Do Re Mi Fa Beat whatever it is, Gashat. Then it's the Jewel Changer Final. And is the octopus this week too?
Yeah.
And then next week, it's like I'm trying to think of the names of the Gashas. It's
Giri Giri Chambara.
Giri Giri Chambara. And then the following week is Jet Combat. Like they're coming out one a week, and then all the rest of, like, I'm not buying them because money reasons, but all the rest of the X8 stuff, it's coming out like weird sporadically also over these weeks, and it's not like the same stuff, like, oh, okay, here's everything that you would have to go with this Gashat all on the same week. And so it's all on fucking different weeks, and I don't understand why they can't just coordinate their shit and get it all together. They want to be assholes about it, so it's like, whatever, a bunch of bitches.
I'm just happy, yeah, Private Warehouse is a thing.
Oh yeah, Private Warehouse is a beautiful thing, because that's what got me through having the whale and getting all those different Gashats, because I was not shipping them one at a time or anything stupid like that. Like,
yeah,
that would have just been obnoxious. But see, I haven't bought any other toys, so I just been doing this Pokemon and then playing Ninja Turtles on my phone. Finally unlocked Razor, Vision Quest Leo, about to unlock Shredder. Kicking ass now, I'm being a boss. Yeah. Sitting here looking at Kaylee because she's laying at the end of the bed behind my computer. You know how it is. Can't even go into my bathroom because there's toys locked in my bathroom. So nobody else. That's where all the presents are.
Like, the question is when are they going to contact you to adapt this into Paranormal Activity 6?
It's fucking locked in my bathroom. I don't know. But Kaylee's adorkable, so.
The dork ones instead of the more marked ones.
Classic. Nailed it. This is a trap.
So, the only actual bit of Toku-related news this week...
Blade got attacked by a golf club. Like, a guy with a golf club.
I know! That's so funny! I mean, like...
A golf club didn't just, like, jump out of a bag and just start beating him. Like, a guy had it.
I was telling Brian that, like, I shouldn't have laughed, but, like, if they would have just said he's been beaten, but, like, they said with a golf club, I'm like, you just made it funny. Like, that's so specific. Like, come on, you can't expect me not to laugh when he's like, 4, and then just does it. Like, you know how it is. Oh god, it's happening. Oh.
Anyway.
I have his equipment on him.
Well, there was that. And the movie Megazord was
Movie
revealed.
Megazord.
And I also realized we didn't talk about this stuff last week either. We, like, talked about it before show. Like, did we ever mention the other Zords? And we're like, no, let's not mention it. We never did.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
T-Rex and stuff. Like, we pre-talked about talking about it and then never did it.
Oh, well.
Well, we talked about the only people that matter, which is us, so.
Oh, that was close.
So, positive or negative, what do you think?
I like it. Like, I think it's going to look really cool when we see, like, the actual in-movie version. Like, just like with Sentai toys, I think it's going to look Shredder. Cooler because I like the whole like sort of alien look to it. I like that it's different too. I didn't want them to try to recreate the old Megazord.
I think that it's very HIV positive.
I have no idea what that means. But I saw a—I don't know if it was—I don't think it's a rumor, but it was like a theory that the Zords actually like clamp onto Alpha.
What?
That like Alpha becomes the robot, and then the Zords clamp onto it, which could be kind of neat, actually.
Bill Hader's a Megazord.
That would be really cool.
It would be. It would make Alpha useful Megazord. Instead of him just being like Curtis, but without the funny and the cornrows.
Now hold on, you need the cornrows.
That's why I said he would be useless without him. Like now he can do something. Like you either have the cornrows or you become a giant robot or you're fired.
But I would think the cornrows are how they attach.
No, Curtis, you're getting them mixed up. Like,
wait, Alpha doesn't have cornrows?
No, that's why he would be fired.
How
if
do
he
the Zords attach
Megazord.
To Alpha then without the cornrows?
Magic.
Duct tape.
Magic duct tape. There we go. We just constructed a narrative.
Well, 0 out of 10 would not recommend.
I do dig it though. Like the one that they revealed, the interactive one looks really streamlined and really neat. Like it's a little unconventional, like as a Megazord, and for the movie, that's something I don't mind at all. But even
well,
just,
I didn't
like,
expect
as...
them to film it with people in suits. We get laughed out of the theater.
Even as a robot, it just looks like a really damn cool robot.
I love that the pterodactyl's wings instead of a sports bra.
Yeah.
Like it makes so much better use of having a winged creature.
Okay, first of all, I would much prefer having a pterodactyl sports bra. I don't know what's wrong with you. Who wouldn't want a pterodactyl sports bra?
You're just walking around, just goes.
Secondly,
it just makes the Kira noises.
It doesn't look like the one from 1992, and therefore it is just terrible. Because it must look exactly like everything from 1992, or it's not Power Rangers.
This isn't from my childhood, this is gutter trash.
Exactly.
Your childhood is gutter trash.
Well, I knew that already. Just looking at it ruins my childhood, so...
Damn it, Michael Bay.
I still love when people are like, I hate Michael Bay's Turtles. I'm like, he just produces it. Like, it's not even the one... It's just really funny.
So, yes. Negative 10 out of 10 would not recommend.
Like, the other things we saw were the T-Rex, which I think looks cool, and the Morpher, which I like. Like, the Morpher's really basic, but it goes with
like
the look
Morpher.
Of, like, the alien feel to it.
I love it.
So. And it's funny how people keep going, like, as a negative, like, oh, it looks alien. Like, it's just like when people say, man, the Geodra stuff's blocky. I'm like, congratulations on considering it a negative for them achieving their goal.
It's blocky? Well, I'm glad it's based on cubes, so. Congratulations, you won.
These things are so blocky. Well, they did their job.
That's the bit.
Congratulations, asswipe.
They're blocky and look like a kid's toy. Well.
Well, let me tell you this story.
Let me tell you something.
I'll tell you a story about a little place called Sentai 6.
Oh, God.
Well,
I forgot
speaking
to bring
of...
my vomit bucket.
We're going to go on back to the Kuroger Galaxy.
The Kuroger! I can't remember exactly what George did, but it was, like, perfectly, like, phonetically put it out, and there was, like, a... I don't remember if it was scream or actual exorcist vomiting, but it was perfect. But, like, yeah. Freaking pee-filled balloons, man.
But speaking of, now it's time for Dino Charts Questions with Shuki. Yeah.
Because there's no X-Aid this week and no Juoger because sports... Shakariki Sports just went on a rampage and was like, no shows this week, fuck you people.
Genom just came in and was like, Shakariki Critical Finish, and the show's
Shakariki,
like, oh no, and they
Critical Strike!
Probably just
so,
yeah. People up on a fucking bike, but anyway.
This was an episode that just demonstrated that they're totally throwing away putting Heckle as Talon Ranger.
Yeah. Like, there has to be some...
I totally dig him being all Survivor Man in his suit, all clean and pristine, but you know how it is. Classic Schmidt glamping. You smell like a wet campsite. How did I not make that joke?
There has to be some sort of behind-the-scenes thing that happened. Because, like, everything is in place and there for him to become talent, and it didn't happen.
It's so weird. I heard it from one of these apparent all-of-a-sudden Bandai people we talked to that said, or somebody said that the reason the sound was in the Morpher is because they had planned to use it at one point, but it had to be pretty late game for them to decide not to use it. I mean, and granted, we do have, like, almost way too many Ranger figures considering all the variants we're doing, but still, it just seems weird that Bandai would allow them to throw away that potential.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have, like, just made a little bit extra something that was actually decent near the end.
At least there was that Easter egg in there where they talk about the Kurudra galaxy.
It's the worst on-the-nose referencing ever. I hate it so much.
Like, there's a really elegant sort of Easter egg, like the Go-Under thing in RPM. Like, that was pretty neat. How they incorporated it. And then you have something like the Kurudra galaxy, and it's like, okay.
It's too much. Like, even in the own season, when they hummed the theme, that was like a small little Easter egg, because you wouldn't even catch that or know what it is, but just naming things after it to be like, Tokusatsu! It doesn't count.
Well, you know, like, with the thing with the RPM... They didn't go around like, it's the Go-Wangers, it's the Go-Wanger bus. I think they I don't even know if they just said it. They were just like, here's the bus, here's an RV, like, and they just jumped in it. And
they described what it stood for.
Yeah, and it just happened to, like, say Go-Wanger in big fucking letters on the side, and they walked away. Like,
because yeah, I think it was Flynn that was like, Go-Wanger. Like, he said it funny.
Yeah.
Then Scott was like, oh, it's ground operational, whatever bullshit.
See, and they're just like, oh, okay. And they walked away. Like, this is just Sentai face, and you shove it in there. Just shove my dick in your face.
Sentai face, shove it in there.
Like, just shove my Sentai dick in your face.
It's just, it's pandering. It's kind of obnoxious.
I think they're just pandering to Coda, really.
I also feel that this episode would have been like perfect for Kendall to make the Zord, and since she made the rest of the systems, and then you could be like, hey, while we're here together, why don't you tell me how you met Keeper? That was an interesting story. Instead, it's just like, hey, Shelby, remember when I told you about this for 5 minutes? Let's make a Zord real quick in this rock. Oh, okay.
But you Shelby. See, they're not allowed to give Kendall any sort of story.
Apparently not. Apparently that was in her contract.
Shelby has to do it because she is black, and it will make Keith happy. We must appease Keith justice.
Belief bustus.
Where is this coming from?
Also him.
This guy.
This guy over here. So that's a thing.
Yeah, I don't got a whole lot. It was.
That's what she said.
It was a thing.
I like how they explained that the ship was cloaked, which explains why they wouldn't be able to find it, but they didn't explain why they never looked for it. Like, okay, so you're telling me if they would have tried to look for it, they'd have a hard time finding it. But you're not telling me why they didn't even try to look for it in the first place. Like, it just seems so negligent, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a giant ship that you would think that they would say, hey, maybe there's some wreckage we could find something from, you know?
Like, maybe we could pull some bodies, we could go look for just some pieces, make sure...
Like, what if it's the Fort Roz prison, but then all our villains end up just being nothing to do with Fort Roz, but... You know how it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I kept thinking that next week is the finale, and I keep getting sad because it's two more episodes. But hey, at least instead of becoming Talon Ranger, he gets a Keeper robe at the end.
Hell yeah.
That's better.
Hashtag power bathrobe.
Who doesn't want a power bathrobe? You can robe in style.
Heckle can live his life just as useless as Keepers.
Exactly.
He can just great. Go watch The Force Awakens over and over again when the Rangers need him. Which, I mean, to be fair, I would do the same thing to them, but it's because I hate them. I feel like at this point we should be having like better discussions about, and there should be more stuff going on, but there just honestly isn't. I feel like we're just going through the motions at this point.
I feel like you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Okay.
You are the weakest link.
I'm just thinking about that Doctor Who episode where they did like
that me version. Too.
That's really what I was thinking about all of a sudden too. So that's why that
classic
happened.
Ninth Doctor who they never do the reruns for. For real, they always start from season two's debut. But I mean,
well, that's because David Tennant and Rose are the best. Didn't you know?
Hashtag didn't OG, you know? But not OG.
Rose is the best companion.
New OG. Neo OG.
Oh, no G.
Neo Orgasm?
Where's that from?
Don't tell him.
Okay.
I'm not going to remember it. I can't remember anyone's name that I currently know.
I'm Brian, and that's George we're talking to.
Ah, Jorge.
Power sombrero.
Why is pan spray not working? Wait, that's... I mean, spray and... Wait, spray and pray. That's what it is. Pan spray is from Grand Theft Auto.
Spray and pray?
Spray and pray is like when you just randomly shoot, which is my strategy. But then I said pay and spray, which is the place where you repaint your car in GTA when they're after you. You know how it is.
Are you high?
Hashtag oh, you're in Colorado. Virtual outlaw problems.
Okay, so now it's time for
ramble time. Ha!
Ha! What is that nonsense? Thanks, Casey. So Ash lost. What a surprise!
It was amazing.
You know what's weird?
I mean, is rock it, hard.
Having watched the league. Like, this league now, like, it was definitely entertaining, and, like, the animation was neat, but honestly, it felt really anticlimactic. Like, maybe it's just, like, when you get older, things seem less impactful, but, like, I remember, like, the Infernape, like, Electivire fight being kind of longer and more epic. Like, this just seemed like it was over very quick. Like, it just, I don't know, it just seemed like the payoff for that storyline was a lot more worth it.
Yeah, she thought it was
maybe it's just me.
A lot less quick, too.
I've never actually looked at the episode counts, but I feel like the league in general was just really fast.
Yeah, it was. Like
it was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're done.
Well, you know
it didn't feel as much like an event fucking, like it usually does.
Let's fucking do it right now. Okay, let's go XY, Kalos Saga. So, okay, the league started, the beginning of the league, let's see. So Ash and Alon, Grenada vs. Mega Charizard, championing a research battle. Okay, rival. See, here we go. Snow Belgium, find Carbink. Let's see. The Kalos League begins. Episode 928 is where the league started. Then, right here that we just ended the league is episode 934. So. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes for the entirety of the Kalos League.
I knew it was short.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
So, it is.
By comparison, let's see if I can figure out.
The other ones have to be longer than that.
Like I said, I was thinking maybe it's just me feeling like it was a longer amount of time from being younger. Throughout the years?
Let's see. Unova League Evolution. So that's the end of Unova's League is 769. So let's see where it began. Curtain up Unova League 764. Alright, this is the start of the Unova League. So 6 episodes in Unova.
Okay. There was only 6?
I'm looking at it.
Granted, like, Unova kind of checked out after a while, but...
I'm trying to remember if I even watched it.
Episode 674 is when the Unova League starts, and then, because episode 770 is New Places, Familiar Faces, and that's when they started the N-Arc. Let's go back another segment to Sinnoh.
Look at Sinnoh, because Sinnoh didn't have like a weird arc attached to the end of their show.
Well, because Unova's pacing was so quick.
Okay, so Sinnoh League semifinal, right? The semifinal frontier when Ash gets butt raped by Darkrai.
Okay. Semi. That's the final frontier.
That's episode 657. Opening of the Sinnoh League. Right, because episode 650 is an old family blend. And that's when Cyndaquil evolved into Quilava. All of Ash's Pokemon. League Unleashed. Ash battles Nando, starting the Pokemon League is 651. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes in Sinnoh.
Oh, god damn it.
Fuck. Well, fuck us.
Not if I don't have to.
Well, okay. Ignoring, like, how many episodes it was, part of my point was that I just felt that the Paul-Ash battle felt more impactful. It's probably because, like, Infernape had a more personal stake in it. Other than just, oh man, I really want to battle that Greninja because I'm like hard for battling.
Well, I'm hard for battling right like, now.
So I think it was because of that, since there was that whole history there and the buildup of their rivalry throughout the series. But like, I remember it feeling like a satisfying end to that story. Whereas this, I was just like, oh hey, that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and rewatch the battle or something.
I'm looking.
Oh fuck's sake, I'm going to die. I'm dead. Oh no, this isn't death.
Okay, so is this the beginning? Oh, for so Hoenn, looks like Hoenn League. They arrive in Evergrande City and protect the flame and meet the Meowth and Boots in episode 402.
Sounded like you said, protect the flaming meat.
Yeah, because I can't really tell if they started any like battling in that episode. But they arrive in Evergrande City in episode 402, and 408 is the conclusion. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes in Hoenn.
Fuck's sake. This is just embarrassing now.
So, I mean, I can go back to Johto and Indigo if you'd really like me to.
No.
I've just disappointed you.
I'm calling it. Oh shit. I really just mired in that guy. But yeah, but I don't know. At least we still have like some interesting stuff like immediately happening. Like we're not just gonna do random filler, we're gonna have the sort of neat Zygarde arc and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like I know there's a gap.
They're like, hey, here's the end of the battle. Oh man, look at these little vine things.
Well, it's weird. I guess it's just part of time moving fast in general with life, but it seems like I was just looking at like the screen caps for this in Japan. Like it seems like we're really close.
Yeah. Well, we are a lot closer that with the Japanese show than we were back then. Yeah, we're only like 10 or 12 episodes at the most difference. Back then, I think we were at least 20.
Yeah, because it seemed like a larger gap. Because I feel like I was just finishing looking at the screen caps for this arc, and now they did a couple little fillery things, and then the stupid specials, which I still wish we would just get, like, seeing Ash returning and stuff. I mean, we could still do the episodes, but
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how the fact that Silent and Clement are the ultimate team-up.
Like... I just want to see Ash's other Pokemon. Is that so much to ask? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know how much animation it takes to draw that many retards just dancing around in the little circle clamoring for Ash?
I also feel like we would have heard news by now if we were getting a sneak preview thing, you know, on Cartoon Network or whatever.
Yeah, probably.
I think they'd just spring it on us.
And I think we could be getting one in like December or something. I think
it's not exactly
it just starting in Japan when the games come out. I think it'll be a while before we get one. So
it was just kind of neat before.
Yeah, they have to figure out how to mispronounce all the Pokemon names, and you know who's going to voice all these random characters with catchphrases. What their catchphrases are going to be in English?
Daydean.
What? Who's Nadine?
Chugga Conroy pronounced the Dene Daydean. Oh, time for some tacos! Oh.
Brian getting Hot Pockets.
Hot Pocket.
I made popcorn. Oh, well, I should have known. Brian, give me some popcorn.
Oh, I'm out of bullets. That's a first. I like how Brian just gets up, walks away, and starts making it. Like, it doesn't even matter. Whatevs. You know how it is. Please hold while we wait for Brian to make popcorn. You don't gotta
wait. Brian's putting a special butter on it.
Bam. Oh, God. Bam? Did you say bam? Did you just emerald this shit? That's a throwback reference. It's like a very specific, like, Food Network early 2000s reference.
Well, Brian does like food, so...
No, because Kevin said I was putting my special butter on, and I said I am.
Oh, I heard that too, but then the bam made it funnier. Like, he's putting a special butter on it. Bam! Like...
It's from the Amish.
Brian yells bam every time he ejaculates.
Good lord.
An Amish popcorn topping.
I didn't know the Amish had popcorn. I thought they just had, like, those special fireplace things.
And they can make the popcorn on a fireplace.
And then they have the hats, and they don't use soap.
Here's my question. Why are we talking so much about the Amish?
Because we're waiting for Brian and his popcorn butter.
This is my special butter.
It's so lack of content we're talking about... Disco toilet discs and the Amish. Like, that's what's happening right now.
And yet, at the same time, it doesn't feel odd for our show.
Not really.
Okay, so are we going to talk about Sun and Moon games? Because I want to do it. I want to talk about the games. I want to talk about the games, Brian. I want to talk about the games.
What's there to talk about?
All the stuff that came out?
What was new, other than stats?
Can we do it, Brian? Can we do it? Can we do the stuff with the thing and the junk?
Well, I suppose yes, because I'm curious what is new.
Okay, real quick, we're entering the whole, like, leaked game spoiler talk of types and stats and evolution methods, so if you don't want to know
if you're a little bitch,
back out.
Get the fuck out of here right now.
I wanted to say that part. If you're a little bitch, then you can skip to the next section while you cry and touch yourself in the corner in public.
The guy that runs Poke Beach was posting like Pokédex entries. And he said, "I didn't post any of the Pokémon that haven't officially been revealed yet because apparently a lot of you are whiny little biatches."
Well, yeah.
Is that what happened?
Come on.
Must have missed that. That's funny to me. Okay, I'm in the middle of playing Disney Carousel Road.
Where are you at? I'm on Poke Jungle.
I was going to go on the first page, because there's two pages of stuff. I was going to go on the first page, and then I actually have a bunch of stuff open off of Cerebi Discussion Forum to kind of fill in. So that's kind of what I was going to do. It's just in two windows, so I'm going to have to go back and forth, and it's going to be a little weird, but... Okay, so... do you want to go through the whole thing, or just important things? I'm not going to go through stats.
Just kind of things that you think are cool.
Everyone's kind of slow.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah, everyone's speed is awful.
Everyone's like, oh, Rowlet's slow, and then I looked at the list, I'm like, holy fuck, everyone's slow.
Yeah.
Damn it, Barry!
Sorry. What we've learned is that each of the starters has their own Z move that's in there. Let's see. We got pretty much all the names to go with the pictures of what we've talked about. So Pick-a-Peck turns into Trumbeak. Trumbeak turns into Toucannon.
Just badass.
Toucannon is such a good name.
A lot of them sound like Ben 10 aliens, like Toucannon and like Crab Bombasnow or whatever is like.
Like Toucan Sam.
Crabominal.
Toucan Sam is just awesome. Wimpod's evolution is Glycopod, which is just awesome.
And like
he can be found on the overworld map, but will run away if it sees you approaching.
Goliath and Isopod?
That's what I'm thinking. Wishy-Washy gets sent out in school form, does not revert back until about 75% of HP being gone. Salandit, the evolution appears is female only, and the evolution's name is Salazzle.
Salazzle's Dazzles.
Which is just awesome. Now, the little spider thing is Dewpider. It's a water bug.
It's actually kind of adorable when you look at his little sprite movements.
And then if I go to this other list here, it says the evolution's name is Araquanid.
That was a Ben 10 one.
Let's see. These are stats. More lull. The evolution that's getting sucked off by Jigglypuff is Shinotic. So that's cool. That's fun. Alolan Dugtrio, with its metal hair, is Ground Steel.
So good.
So, 80s rock band Dugtrio is a metal type, basically.
See, I was onto it. I just said it funny.
You were. That's why I said you were close. you pretty much had it.
So then, just finishing off this page, some plot points. Hala's team, when you first battle him, is Makuhita, Mankey, Crabrawler. The second island has four trials, as well as Totem Wishiwashi and Salazzle. Third island features a Totem Vikavolt and Mimikyu. Olivia's team consists.
Can you imagine how terrifying Totem Wishiwashi is? Like, the entire description is that, like, the people of Alola are terrified of this Pokemon. And this is, like, a giant version of that Pokemon. Like,
the third island features Totem Vikavolt and Mimikyu. Olivia's team is Nosepass, Boldore, and Lycanroc. Team Skull's Guzma has Glycopod and Ariados.
Luis Guzma.
I'm just picturing him in the back of a kitchen, just rubbing people's food on his nuts because they're being obnoxious. Gladion has Type Null, Golbat, and Sneasel. And this last line is nonsense because we got something different read later on. Moving on to the day two spoiler list. We've got the hidden abilities of the starters. Decidueye is Long Shot, which means that contact attacks don't register as contact moves.
That can be beneficial. I don't know how beneficial it could really be, but it's kind of cool, I guess.
Incineroars is Intimidate.
A-plus.
And Primarina's is Liquid Voice, which makes all sound-based attacks water-type.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, I already told you Dewpider's evolution. The Anchor is Grass Ghost, and it's called Delmize. And yes, I believe that's how you're supposed to say it. Crabrawler's evolution is Fighting Ice, and it's Crabominal.
Ben 10.
Fighting Ice urchin is an awesome type.
That is.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how that's going to actually work. Like, you know, use it in practice.
Like everyone. Sorry.
The sea urchin is water poison, and it's marini. Marini.
I think it's marini.
I think it's marini. It evolves. Marini. Fuck off. It evolves.
Marini.
Fuck off. It evolves into Toxapex. Toxapex has a new ability. I love this ability, called Merciless, which, if you're poisoned, all the attacks that it does to you are critical hits.
That's like A plus, awesome, badass.
Right. So basically you use toxic on your opponent because that just makes you even more of a dick, and then
like
now all their attacks are critical
for double battles.
It
toxic
really is.
Toxic someone and then have Toxapex attack it. A plus double battle combo.
Alolan, Geodude, Graveler, and Golem are all rock electric,
which is really cool.
I love it. I figured they'd either be electric or steel with that whole magnet look on them.
Yeah.
I kind of want to use one now.
I agree. Golem has a new ability called Galvanized. It turns all normal type moves into electric and gives them a 30% power boost.
I love those abilities. Like the ones that turn normal types into certain attacks and gives them stab boosts.
And makes them useful?
It's,
yes.
Yeah, it's super beneficial.
Like, because since normal isn't super effective on anything, you can start using these attacks with different effects or whatever. And, oh, look, now all of a sudden it's a grass attack or it's a fire attack and it will do extra damage, and that's great. Marshadow has a signature move called Spectral Thief. It steals all stat boosts from the target, then attacks. Alolan, Vulpix, and Ninetales are exclusive to Moon, and Sandshrew and Sandslash are exclusive to Sun.
I saw that different somewhere else. I saw it as the opposite.
Well, let me see, because I'm
going to go... I've seen that, too.
Going over to, real quick, to the list on... I'm over on, find it. On the I found from the link on Cerebri, which goes to this other site where there's a fucking list of other evolution. Where'd I go? Oh, here we go. The version exclusives appear to be, for Sun, we have Vulpix and Ninetales, Rufflet Braviary, Cottonee Whimsicott, Gible Goodbye Garchomp, Cranidos Rampardos, Tortuga Caracosta, Passimian, UB-02 Absorption, Turtonator, there's actually another UB that they didn't put on here, which we'll go back to that in a minute, Turtonator, Lycanroc Midday Form, and Solgaleo. For Moon, you can kind of guess most of those if you've been playing the other games, Alolan Sandshrew and Sandslash, Vullaby and Mandibuzz, Petala Lilligant, the counterpart to Gible is going to be Beldum, Metang, Metagross. Then Shieldon, Bastiodon, Arcan, Archeops, Oranguru, UB-02 Beauty, Drampa, I guess would be the counterpart to Turtonator, Lycanroc, Midnight, and then Lunala. So there's that. Let's go back to Poke Jungle to finish this off. So we have all the evolution information. The starters evolve level 17 and 34. Pikipek is 14 and 28. Yungoos will only evolve in the morning at level 20. Charjabug. Grubbin turns into Charjabug at 20, and then when you level it up at Lectical Cave, it becomes Vikavolt. Crabrawler.
I can't believe how slow he is in particular. Sorry, it's just like he seems like he'd be so swifty.
I didn't look at the stats or anything. I don't know, but yeah, I would think that would have been fast.
Everyone's slow in Alola.
Yeah, apparently they're just taking it easy. You know how it is, island life.
I was gonna say that.
I'm sorry.
God. Crabrawler, if you level him up at Eula Snowy Summit, it will become Crab. Now this says Crabominable. I don't know what the fuck it's actually called because it appears like Crabominable.
Joe's Crab Shack.
Let's see, Cutie Fly, level 25.
Just name it at Joe's.
Yeah. Rockruff, level 25 at morning or night, depending on your game and version. Let's see. Marini, level 38. Mudbray, level 30. Dewpider, level 22. Fomantis, level 34 in the morning. Morlull, level 24. Salandit, level 33 and female. Stuffle, level 27. Now, Bounce Sweet is going to be level 18 to Steeny. And then when you teach Steeny Stomp, which it learns at level 29, it will become Serena. I guess then Serena can throw a hissy fit and stomp around. Wimpod, level 30. Sandygast, level 42. Type Null is a friendship evolution. And then Jangmo-O, level 35. Hakamo-O, level 45. Now, there's no, before I get to the last one, there's no stone evolutions at all in Alola. All the new Alolan ones have no stone evolutions. I'm actually just realizing as I'm reading through this out loud. Yep. Anyone else not mentioned does not evolve, with the exception of our little buddy here, Cosmog, which is last here. Cosmog evolves at 43 into Cosmoem, which is that oblong thing. Now, secret that was revealed when you with the final picture of the Sun and Moon card sets is that Solgaleo and Lunala are not basic Pokemon, they are stage 2s, because Cosmoem evolves at level 53 into either Solgaleo or Lunala, depending on your version. And I was telling this to Brian yesterday, I said, I started looking at it, and I was staring at them, because, I work, I promise, I actually do work at some point throughout the day. I really do, I promise. I wouldn't be able to have my job if I didn't actually do work, but I get a lot of downtime every so often where I just stare at and think about Pokemon, because it keeps me from going insane and just, breaking shit. And I don't know why I didn't see it sooner, like why it didn't make sense, because if you look at it, right, Cosmog is like Stardust, it's Cosmic Fog, especially if you go to the Pokedex entry, it says its body is gaseous and frail, it slowly grows as it collects dust from the atmosphere. And then it evolves into this thing, which I'm guessing is kind of like a, in space, when things form, you have the space dust and the gases, and then it starts in motion, and it swirls around, and you have like that proto star system thing, which is like a big body, and everything's kind of trying to clump together. And that's Cosmoem. Cosmoem's dex entry says, motionless as if dead, its body is faintly warm to the touch. In the distant past, it was called the cocoon of the stars. And then when you have that proto-star system thing going on, depending on what elements clump together, you either get a gaseous body like the sun, a star like Solgaleo, or you'll get a rocky planetoid body, a moon like Lunala. And it all kind of makes sense. And then I was like, holy shit, this is so cool.
Like, so that's it's really neat.
It's the first ever legendaries that really evolve.
They really evolve.
It's so nice.
And when they first said, cool, like, oh, Solgaleo and Lunala have pre-evolutions, and I think the picture or whatever with the leaks from the data mine from the demo kind of paired like Cosmoem with Solgaleo and Cosmog with Lunala, and so I was like, well, you kind of see that, but then it's something about it just didn't really make sense, and then especially when they lined up all the sprites, and I'm like, well, that. They wouldn't put them separate like that if it worked that way. And so it seemed off. But knowing that it's a 1-2-3, like, now it makes sense. But so I wasn't expecting not only for them to evolve, but them to be, like, a 3-stage line, and the legendary is the 3rd stage.
Yeah.
Like, and then if you look in, if you're zoomed in on Cosmoem, you see, like, both eye colors. Like, Lunala has the red eyes. Solgaleo has the blue, and there's both colors inside of that little purple ball thing. And then it all starts to fill in, and you see how all the parts are the same on both of them. And it's like, there's something that's really cool about it.
it's just another one of those really cool things of Sun and Moon taking things that we're used to and, like, flipping it on its head and making it different, and it's so necessary and so good at a time like this.
Like, and it's also just another case of how they all the Pokemon have some kind of a meaning or, like, a, you know, representative of things, especially the legendaries in particular. I mean, a lot of these things are based on something in real life, but with the legendaries in particular, they usually have some kind of a cool meaning behind them or a story behind them. And this is pretty neat. I love this a lot.
Wow.
Moving on from this, the Ultra Beasts. So
aliens.
So
aliens.
So apparently, each of them has like a little thing. Like, they never did say. I don't know if UB01 just doesn't have one or what, but like UB02 has beauty and absorption. UB03 is lightning. 04, it had, there's two 04s, one exclusive to Moon, which is Blaster, one exclusive to Sun, which is Blade. UB05 is Glutton. And then that last one is called Necrozma, and it doesn't have an Ultra Beast number, but it's something odd. The Dex entry, if you go back to that, the Dex entry for Necrozma says, reminiscent of the Ultra Beasts, this life form apparently asleep underground is thought to have come from another world in ancient times. And so there's that. And then in addition to that, it's kind of implied or something that Soglio and Lunala are also Ultra Beasts or something. It's I'm not sure exactly still what these things are.
We don't really know what an Ultra Beast is yet.
once you catch them, the thing, it's a special ball is called a Beast Ball. And you know, it's not very effective for catching anything that's not an Ultra Beast. But once
it's just made of blue fur. It looks like Beast from X-Men.
Once...
It's his balls. Just,
it is. That's what they needed. Sorry, Kelsey Grammer.
Once you use Kelsey Grammer... I was trying to think of his name so hard. I'm glad you said it. Once you use Kelsey Grammer to catch something, they register as Pokemon, and their names change. So UB01, they're getting, like, you see their true name, it says. Their true name is Nihilego.
Nihilego.
Not a Lego. That's Mega Bloks'
name. Not a Lego, and it's a rock. It is a rock poison type. Now, I'm looking at it. None of the types are duplicated, so nothing is the same type. Unless I'm missing something. The two UB02s are both the same type, bug fighting. Beauty's true name is Pheromosa. Absorption's true name is Buzzswole. He's so swole.
That's okay, I keep reading it as Buzzhole.
That's what I was just...
I did too, so. Lightning 03, its true name is Zirkatry. And is
not today, Zerk.
UB04 Blaster's name is Celesteela, and it's a steel flying type. Well, never mind,
it's probably Celesteela.
Look, I'll say however the fuck I want. They can say Arceus and Magiarna or whatever the fuck those assholes kept saying. I can say this however the fuck I want. UB04 Blade's true name is Kartana.
Cortana!
Hey, Cortana.
She went cray-cray. That's where she ended up.
I said that in the Xbox thing.
Did it turn on?
Yes.
I love the commercials that go, Xbox One, and then it turns my Xbox on. I'm like, thanks.
UB05 Glutton's true name is Guzzlord, and it's a dark dragon type. So,
Guzzlord M. Fokker. You know how it is. Classic Ben Stiller.
That happened. Gengar's ability to levitate has been replaced with Cursed Body. We have the names of all of the Z-Moves. Normal type, Breakneck Blitz. Grass type is Bloom Doom, Fire, Inferno, Overdrive. Water, Hydro, Vortex, Electric, Gigavolt, Havoc. Flying is Supersonic, Sky Strike. Bug is Savage, Spin Out. Rock is Continental, Crush. Congress. Ground is Tectonic, Rage. Fighting is All Out, Pummeling. Psychic is Shattered, Psyche. Dark is Black Hole, Eclipse. Poison is Acid, Downpour. Ghost is Never Ending Nightmare.
Also known as Fair- My Life.
Fairy is Twinkle Tackle, which that's just I don't know. I don't have words to describe how awesome that name is. Ice is Sub-Zero Slammer. Whoever named these just needs like a pat on the back. Dragon is Devastating Drake. These were all named by Cisco, I think. Steel
Jumbo
is
Josh is the other one.
Steel is Steel is Corkscrew Crash. Ash is Pikachu.
You did a Corkscrew Kick. Sorry, I'm sorry. Stop now.
God damn it. Ash's Pikachu has a Z-move called 10 Million Volt Thunderbolt. Alolan Raichu is Stoked Spark Surfer. I feel like that was a little different before. I don't know. Eevee's is Extreme Evo Boost. We saw that. Snorlax has Pulverizing Pancake, which I think is still the best move ever.
It is. It's the unborn toast of Z-names.
Mew has a Z-move for some reason called Genesis Supernova, and I really want to know what that looks like very badly. Decidueye has Sinister Arrow Raid. Primarina has Oceanic Operetta. Incineroar has Malicious Moonsault.
Yes.
The four Tapus have that Guardian of Alola thing, and then Marshadow has its own Z move, Soul Stealing 7-Star Strike.
It's badass. Yeah.
It takes the 7 stars from Mario RPG. It takes the 7 stars from Mario RPG and hits you with them while stealing out your soul because they're not making another one. And Mallow and Geno no longer matter in life. I love it's related everything together. So that's all of that. So let's okay. Now, let's see. Going to this other page here. Let's see. Starters, stats, and move pools. Let's see. Incineroar has less speed than Torracat.
I think Decidueye is the fastest.
It's tied with Primarina, yeah. Decidueye doesn't learn Fly. Fly's not in its... I don't know if it just can't. It's probably just not in its level up or so. I don't know. I could be wrong. It just, I don't have a full move that just has like notes about the moves. Primarina has the highest special attack and special defense of any starter. Let's see. Other Pokemon. I don't remember anything special in here, but I'm going through it again. Vikavolt has high special attack. Let's see. Crabominable has the abilities Hyper Cutter and Iron Fist. Hidden ability of Anger Point. Cutiefly is a Ribombee. The evolution of Cutiefly is pretty fast. Let's see. Midnight Form is slower, but has a bit more HP for Lycanroc. Let's see. Mudsdale has high attack but very low speed. Everything has low speed. Fuck you.
Yep.
Lurantis learns Petal Blizzard and Leaf Blade. It's got high attack. Salazzle is fast with good special attack. That could be neat. Beware and Serena have high attack. Comfey is a defensive Pokemon. Orangaroo is more defensive than Passimian, which I kind of expected. A lot of times when they have these, version exclusives or something like that, one is usually more attack-oriented, one's more defense-oriented. They do the same thing with if you look at a lot of the fossils. Let's see. Palossand is a special attacker who also has high defense. All of Silvally's stats are 95, so it's always got, you know, kind of across the board stats. Minior has very balanced stats as well. Turtonator, special attack's a little bit higher than its attack. Togedemaru is a physical attacker, which makes it different than most of the little Pikachu knockoffs. Bruxish is a physical attacker. Drampa is a special attacker. Let's see. Kamo-O can be both. It's got just about equal physical and special attack. So that's cool. Solgaleo has high attack and HP. Lunala has high HP and special attack. So kind of like we're saying somewhere, they rotate different stats around like that. The Island Guardians all have the same stat numbers, but they're just swapped around. Tapu Koko is the fastest. Meanwhile, Tapu Fini, the dolphin one, is a high special defense. Tapu Bulu, the little bull one, is the highest attack. And then Tapu Lili, the fairy one, is the highest special attack. So they're all kind of moved around. Lunala can learn Moongeist Beam. I love that sound name. Cosmic Power, Night Days, and Shadow Ball. It's caught at level 55. Let's see. Ultra Beasts. We talked about all that. Changes to old Pokemon. Wingull's hidden ability was replaced with Hydration. It turns into Drizzle when it evolves. Torkoal's hidden ability was changed to Draught. The dogs of whatever the fuck they are of Johto, hidden abilities were all replaced with Inner Focus. Roggenrola and Bulldor's hidden ability, Weak Armor, becomes they get that instead of Sturdy, which turns into Sandstream when it evolves. Vanillite and Vanillish now have Snow Cloak instead of Ice Body for their hidden. Vanillux has Snow Warning. Cubchoo and Beartick have had their hidden ability Snow Cloak replaced with a new one, Slush Rush. A few Pokemon's attack stats have increased. Arbok has increased. Dugtrio's Farfetch'd. Farfetch'd went from 65 to 90, so he got a bit of a boost. Beartick and Crustle's both increased a decent amount as well. Dodrio, Electrode, and Delcatty have increased speed stats. Not by a lot, but a little. Exeggutor, Ariados, Corsola have increased special defense. Corsola also had a defense increase and an HP increase. Coolfish's defense went up. Noctowl's special attack went up. Swellow's special attack went up, and so did Pelipper's and Masquerain's. And Masquerain also got a speed boost. Mantine got a boost in HP. So did Lunatone and Solrock. And Woobat. Volbeat, Illumise have higher defense and special defense than Cryogonal. Has, they wrote the same thing twice. It now has, and they wrote two different stats, and both of them say HP. So two stats went up. I think one of them's HP. I don't know what the other one fucking is. New moves. The starters have signature moves. Zacidui is Spirit Shackle. 80 base power, 100% accuracy, prevents the target from escaping. Incineroar's is Darkest Lariat. 85 base power, ignores the target stat changes. Primarina's is Sparkling Aria. 90% base power, heals the burn of the target.
These were in the trailers, weren't they? Or am I imagining that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they were.
Pikapek evolution signature move is Beak Blast. It says it's a -3 priority move with 100 base power. It inflicts burns, making physical contact with it while the move charges during the turn.
It does!
TM59 is Brutal Swing. It's a new TM. It hits all targets. Incineroar can learn that attack. Let's see. Accelerock, which is Midday Lycanroc signature move, always goes first. Has a 40 base power. Baneful Bunker is a move only learned by Toxapex. It is a non-damaging poison-type move that protects the user from an attack, but poisons any attacker Pokemon that makes physical contact. So, I guess that's, like, an evil version of Protect?
Not like an evil version, but another shoe like this one.
And then that goes with his ability, so that just makes... that's evil. I'm sorry, that's just evil. I mean, I love it, but it's
no,
evil.
No, another shoe like this one. Sorry.
Let's see. High Horsepower is a physical ground type move learned by Mudbray and Mudsdale, and can also be learned by Golurk and Snorlax.
Get off your high horsepower.
Let's see. Solar Blade is a two-turn attack only learned by Lurantis. So that's, I guess it's signature move, but it only has it. Strength Sap is exclusive to more Lurantis evolution. It restores the same amount of HP to the user as the target's attack stat, and then lowers the target's attack stat after use. Let's see. Stomping Tantrum, Drop Kick, Floral Healing is a non-damaging fairy move exclusive to Comfey. Restores the target's HP by up to half of the target's maximum HP. It restores more HP when the battle is fought on grassy terrain.
Damn it.
Let's see. Purify, only learned by Pukumuku. Zing Zap is a physical electric move learned by Togedemaru. Psychic Fangs is a physical move that if it hits destroys light screen or reflect.
That's helpful.
Anchor Shot is only learned by Delmize, and it's a grass type move that prevents the target from fleeing after its use. It's a special move that has 80 base power. Clanging Scales, that's learned by Kamo-O, dragon type move. We saw that one. Let's see, Smart Strike, it's a new steel move. Prismatic Laser is a special psychic-type move.
That also sounds like a Digimon move.
It's exclusive to one of the Ultra Beasts. Spectral Thief, we talked about that. That's Marshadow's Dragon Hammer, Alolan Exeggutor's move. Throat Chop, which is, is a physical dark-type move. It prevents the target from using sound-based moves for two turns.
Oh.
That is... I love that. I'm sorry. That's an asshole.
That's like a good counter for Primarina, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, it's not going to do a lot of damage to Primarina because Dark on physical is not very effective, but it takes away those sound-based moves. Pollen Puff's a bug-type move, only learned by Ribombee. It says it can be used to either attack the opponent or, if used on an ally, heal the target's HP. Ice Hammer, only learned by Crabominable, physical ice type move, 100 base power, lowers your speed. Psychic Terrain, Shore Up, only learned by our Sandcastles, restores half the max HP and restores more HP in a sandstorm. Makes sense. First Impression is only learned by Wimpod's evolution. It's a physical bug type move, 90 base power. It only works on the first turn of the battle. Let's see. Gear Up is a steel type move that raises attack and special attack of an ally Pokemon that has the plus or minus ability. Let's see. Speed Swap, Aurora Veil, Shadow Bone is a physical ghost move learned by Alolan Marowak. 80 base power, may lower the target's defense by one stage. Toxic Thread, exclusive to Spinarak and Ariados, causes poison and lowers the target's speed. Fire Lash, physical type move learned by Heatmore, lowers target's defense, 80 base power. Let's see. Here we go. Burn Up is a special fire type move with 130 base power. This is interesting. After using this move, the user will lose its fire typing.
Well.
It's unknown what replaces the fire typing if the user is only a fire type. Maybe normal?
Question mark.
That could be useful against if you're battling like a ghost type. Use that move, and then now that guy can't hit you because you're now a normal type, if that's how it works. So, it could have its uses. Let's see. Changes to old move. Leech Life is now a TM, has 80 base power. Dark Void has 50% accuracy and can only be used by Darkrai.
I love that so much. Because if you watched like Nationals and Worlds this year, there was a Smeargle with Dark Void on fucking every goddamn team. So, A+, good move. Love it.
And for all we know, that's probably why they did it.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, like, stop this shit. Let's see. Changes to old move pools. Butterfree can learn air / Dodrio jump kick. Gyarados and Swellow can get Hurricane. That's neat. Yeah. Ferret can learn Coil, Noctowl, Moonblast. Pichu, Pikachu, Raichu can learn Electric Terrain. Bellossom. Why do I feel like that's going to happen in this show? I don't want that to happen. Bellossom and Wormadam can learn that Pikachu's going to like start Electric Terraining or something stupid like that. They're going to fucking... You know, like, instead of learning Electro Ball, or like they're going to like drop, you know, like, some move that he's been using in, like, Pikachu Electric Terrain, and he's gonna, like, fucking do a little dance or something, I don't know. Bellossom and Wormadam can learn Quiver Dance. Sudowoodo Head Smash. Dunsparce gets Air Slash and Dragon Rush. Delibird can learn Drill Peck, that's a thing. Mantine gets Roost, Suicune, Sheer Cold. Finally, that seems just kinda... Even though he's Water-type, they kinda relate him a lot to Ice for some reason. Swellow can learn Hurricane. Wailord can learn Noble Roar. Grumpig and Whiscash can learn Belch. I like that for some reason. Flygon finally gets Dragon Dance. Dodrio, B-Barrel, and Seviper can learn Swords Dance. Lunatone and Diancie can learn Power Gem. Thank you. That just seems obvious. Solrock, Litleo, and Pyroar can learn Flare Bits. B-Barrel can learn Aqua Jet, Wormadam, Bug Buzz, Ambipom can learn Dual Chop, Skuntank can learn Sucker Punch, Frostlass can learn Will-O-Wisp, Watchhog, Nasty Plot. Now here's a fun one. Our monkeys, who I personally like, Simi-Sage, Simi-Seer, and Simi-Poor, can learn Frenzy Plant, Blast Burn, and Hydro Cannon.
That's pretty cool.
Which normally only the starters can have. I like them, so I'm happy about
that. Simi-Seer is getting revenge on everyone for hating him.
Right? Throw can learn Mat Block, Basculin gets Head Smash, and Pangoro can learn Bullet Punch.
Bombshell announcement, guys. It's not Matt.
Okay. Now, it says Z-Moves. We talked about the starters. Z-Moves also bypass Protect, but deal less damage. Roughly 25% of the original. We talked about who gets this. The Pikachunium Z is what gives the Ash Pikachu his whatever, his Z move. Then this says, and I'm not sure I understand this at all. Maybe Brian knows what this means. It says Z moves benefit non-attacking moves too. Every status move not called Nature, Power, Metronome, or Assist gain a side effect when used as a Z move. For example, Z-Splash grants +3 attack, and Z-Destiny Bond redirects all attacks to the user.
Yeah, I have no fucking idea what that is.
Like, what is that? Like, can you set that as your Z-move instead of, like...
I haven't figured it out. I thought, when I first read it, I thought that maybe these moves would now have new effects after you used a Z-move. But that doesn't sound like the case. So I honestly have no idea what exactly they're talking about.
And then it says Z-Celebrate / Happy Hour / Hold Hand / Conversion / Geomancy raise all stats +1 stage and Z-Nature Power transforms into the respective Z-move based on terrain. Energy Ball Bloom Doom turns into Bloom Doom. Z Hidden Power always turns into Breakneck Blitz, regardless of what type the Hidden Power is. Z Belly Drum restores HP before deducting 50%, allowing it to be used when the user has less than 50% HP. If the Z move misses, it still counts as being the one Z move you're allowed to use per battle. We went through the names of the Z moves.
Like... I guess you can have an option of doing that instead.
Like, maybe? Or maybe, like, if you have that and a Z-Stone attached. Like, because, see, this says, I'm scrolled down, and it says, like, Sinister Arrow Raid is Decidueye Z-Move. It's a physical ghost-type Z-Move with 180 base power. This only works with Spirit Shackle. So, like, if he knows Spirit Shackle and has, like, Decidium Z, then he can use Sinister Arrow Raid?
I think
like,
so.
It has to kind of work in tandem together. Like, he has a Z-Stone, and you have a Z-Stone, and then this attack is learned by him, and so all three work together, and then he can use Sinister Arrow Raid?
That's my guess. I have no idea.
Malicious Moonsault Incineroars is the physical dark type Z-Move. 180 base power works with Darkest Lariat. And then Primarina's Oceanic Operetta is physical water type with 195 base power, works with Sparkling Aria. Guardian of Alola only upgrades the Tapu's Nature Madness attack. Pulverizing Pancake is a physical normal Z-move with 210 base power, only works with Snorlax's Giga Impact.
So, like,
I think
Snorlax has to know Giga Impact in order to use Pulverizing Pancake?
I remember something about... Remember when they first showed Z-moves, they said you had to have the stone and know an attack of that type. So I think if what they're saying... let's try and back this up a bit. Z-Splash. Okay, Splash is a normal type move, or is it water?
It's normal.
Normal. Okay, so if you have the, Normalium Z attached to insert Magikarp, just because I know Magikarp knows Splash, or Hip-Hop-It. And then you use Splash, it will give +3 attack, is what I think it's trying to say. Because now you have that Normalium Z attached, you have Splash, and so you're powered up, just like here. Decidueye has Decidium Z attached. He's got Spirit Shackle on his moveset, and now that Decidium Z allows him to use Sinister Arrow Raid.
Okay.
Is
complicated.
Extreme Evo Boost. Eevees upgrades Eevee's Last Resort attack. Stoked Spark Surfer is an electric special type move, 175 base power, leaves the target paralyzed. It only upgrades Alola Raichu's Thunderbolt.
Fuck's sake.
Genesis Supernova Muse move. It's a special psychic type move, changes the terrain to psychic terrain, 185 base power. It upgrades Muse Psychic. Marshadows is a physical ghost type move that punches and kicks the target consecutively. This possibly indicates a multi-hit move, but that is not confirmed. 10 million volt Thunderbolt for the special Pikachu. It's a special electric type Z move with 195 base power. Only upgrades the special Pikachu's Thunderbolt. It increases the user's chance of landing a critical hit in a future attack. So that's an interesting kind of dynamic to the Z moves.
Interesting dynamic. Sorry.
I will murder you.
That word is ruined forever.
Violently.
Thanks, Tokusatsu.
And for getting him murdered.
Thanks for killing me, Toku.
So
it'll be on my grave. Like, no matter how I die, I want that to be on my grave.
New abilities. We've seen all these previously revealed abilities. Let's see, here's a few more. Emergency Exit. You switch out when HP becomes half or less. Merciless. Users attack becomes critical hits if they're poisoned. We saw that's that other guy's Toxapex. Water Bubble lowers the power of fire-type moves and prevents the Pokemon with this ability from getting burned. Steelworker increases steel-type move power. Slushrush, that one we talked about for Cubchoo and Beartick, your speed's increased in a hailstorm.
Makes sense.
Long reach. So that hidden ability through the Rocket Lance is it allows the user to use physical moves without making contact with the target, is what it's trying to say. So you can it's useful for physical moves against an opponent that uses Shell Trap, for example, which won't trigger because you're not actually touching it. So that's nice. Talked about Liquid Voice, Galvanize, talked about Battery, powers up an ally Pokemon, special move. Tangling Hair, that sounds like Rapunzel's ability. When opponents make contact with this Pokemon, the attacker's speed is lowered. Power of Alchemy, when an ally is defeated, the Pokemon copies.
I thought that got you flashlight powers. Sorry.
Beast Boost, this is only available to Ultra Beast. It raises the UB's highest stat when it KOs an opponent. Prism Armor reduces the power of attacks that would be super effective. Changes to old abilities. Gale Wings only works when the user has 100% of its HP, and Unaware only ignores the opponent's stats when the user is attacking. So, that's something. Let's see. Notable new items. The Ice Stone Poker Ride Pokemon summoned via an item called the Ride Pager. You register different Pokemon throughout your journey.
Ride Pager sounds like a Kamen Rider toy.
It does.
And again, words are ruined for us. We talked about the Beast Ball. Red, yellow, pink, and purple nectar are flower nectar obtained from areas on different islands. They're used to change the form of Oricorio. Terrain Extender is an item that increases the duration of the changed terrain caused by the use of a specific move or by the holder's ability. So that's the thing. Other little bits of info here. Generation 5 experience mechanics are used, like, something I've talked about before. So if you're switching out Pokemon, you'll see that your lower level will gain more experience and your higher level one will gain less instead of being a straight split. There's an area to transform collected Zygarde cells and cores into the 10 and 50% forms. Kanto Pokemon are referred to as Kantonian.
That's a thing.
Mega Evolutions get their own Pokedex description, which are very cool. I read them, just I wanted to see. We talked about the exclusives. It says the following trainer classes are present in the game. Last, teacher, ace trainer, black belt, punk guy, punk girl, youth athlete, it's a youth, youngster, preschooler, that's good, battle of preschooler, backpacker, Pokemon breeder, rising star, swimmer, office worker, fisherman, collector, hiker, sightseer, beauty, scientist, gentleman, madam, ooh, good, I get the battle of prostitute, worker, golfer, police officer, cook, janitor,
or Madavastra, you know how it is.
Firefighter, veteran, and bellhop. Special trainer classes
same
are
thing, really?
Yeah, just more scales. Again, Madam
Vastra. Madam Vastra created Kamo-O. let's see. Story related spoilers, because we haven't done enough spoilers. This is also Colress from Black 2 and White 2 returns in the game about halfway. Appears earlier than halfway. Kukui has the third starter that you and Hao. You and your rival don't choose. Kukui gets the third one. We talked about Cosmog. Many captains have team rosters, thus confirming that we're able to battle them at some point. The order of the trial captains goes Ilima, Lana, Hiawe, Mallow, Sophocles, Acerola, the ghost type captain, and then Mina.
This one.
We battle Hala after Ilima and Olivia after Mallow. There's a dark-type kahuna named Nanu.
Nanu. Damn it.
That is battled after...
Don't spend me on this one.
The girl with the Mudsdale from the demo trailer is the final kahuna named Hapu. That is battled after Mina.
After the game is completed, the Alola League is built, and the Elite Four are chosen from strong trainers already in the region. The Elite Four are as follows. Hala, Olivia, Acerola, Nanu, the Dark-type Kahuna, is denied the position, and Kahili, a Flying-type specialist who was the former Island champion. So basically, you've got two Kahunas and a trial captain, and then this other guy. You can battle them in any order, just like in Kalos and in Unova. Ilima's a boy. That's, I don't know why that's a spoiler. The Aether Foundation has employees that are able to be battled. Lusamine and Faba also have teams and will likely battle them at some point. The text references a Professor Burnett as Kukui's wife. So,
oh, that's cool.
Says the only Burnett we know is from the Dream Radar app, compatible with Black 2, White 2. It's still unconfirmed without images if they're the same person. Lily and Gladion are Lusamine's children. I'd have to look at pictures to know who the fuck these people are. It seems as if their father was sucked into the Ultra Beast dimension through a wormhole, though it's a bit unclear. Gladion's trainer class changes from Team Skull Gladion to Pokemon Trainer Gladion. Does this mean maybe he defects from Team Skull at some point? Guzma and Plumeria also get this trainer class. Guzma specializes in bug types. And then the man featured in the demo with the Pelipper is not a flying type trial captain. He just is a delivery man. And Pelly the Pelipper is his partner. I don't know why. That's just adorable. Annabelle from the Hoenn Battle Frontier returns. It seems like she's maybe researching Ultra Beasts and the Ultra Beast Dimension. She's able to be battled at some point. There's also text that suggests Grimsley appears as a Battle Tree opponent along with Red, Blue, Wally, Annabelle, Cynthia, and Colress. Looker's name was found in the game's text data, but it's unknown what purpose it serves. That dude's just fucking everywhere. These trainer classes are presumably only used by important story characters. Pokemon Trainer, Team Skull Grunt, Team Skull Admin, Team Skull Boss, Island Kahuna, Captain, Trial Guide, Pro Wrestler, Pokemon Professor, Aether President, Aether Branch Chief, Aether Foundation Employee, Elite Four, Vaporeon User, Jolteon User, Flareon User, Glaceon User, Leafeon User, you know where this is going, Espeon User, Umbreon User, Sylveon User, Eevee User, Principal and Game Freak, and that is the end of that goddamn list.
Game Freak.
And, yeah. I don't know if anybody has any desire for me to read to them any of the Pokedex entries. I will say this, just like they said, each of the I'm looking at them, each of the Megas has their own Dex entry. There are separate entries for the non-Alolan forms of certain Pokemon. So there's one for Meowth, one for Alolan Meowth, separately. Each of the Pikachu, Ash Pikachus, the hat ones, it has, I guess, the same one. It says this one, Pikachu, is somewhat rare. It wears the hat of its trainer, who is also its partner. So it's a separate entry. For that Pikachu, let's see what else I wanted to say.
Link me to the Dex entries, because I want to read them tomorrow.
Okay. I'm looking through it. The Shellos and Gastrodon, they gave them separate entries for East and West Sea. Which is a little bit interesting to me, because we haven't had that before. And Cast Form, they've got different Dex entries for like Cast Form, and then Cast Form Sun, Rain, and Hail. And the different Zygarde forms each have their own entry. Trying to see if there was any other one like that that has separate things. I don't think so. Oricorio, each of its forms has a entry as well as both Lycanroc. And both forms of Wishiwashi have different as an entry like for each one.
That's cool.
Silvally, and then I guess different the other 17 types of Silvally, so the non-normal types of Silvally. The Minior cores
have a separate entry. Broken Mimikyu has a separate entry. Painted Magearna, the one that's like a Pokeball, has a separate entry. Separate description entry. So all those things are... that's there. So I'm going to go ahead and put this in the chat. This is the link to that. I didn't read all of these. I read the megas. I read the ones that interested me. Just really the megas and the different ones for different forms, because I was just kind of curious. I figure I'll read the rest of them later when I get the game. It's not that serious to me to read them now. I read the Ultra Beast too. That was kind of cool. But yeah. So
amongst like just the huge information dump, did I miss this? Did you mention anything about EXP share of how that works? Is it like XY?
They did not mention that at all. Okay. They mentioned the general level up mechanic, but not EXP share.
Okay.
And I'm just talking, I think, for at least the last half an hour straight.
Because I kind of want it to be a little more difficult, but I also like being able to have a rotating team. So, like, I want it to be easy to level up everyone at the same time.
Fuck, it's my phone. There it is. So, that's...
God, there's no need for it.
But I am very excited about... everything. Like, I
makes sense.
and like, well, you know, it's funny because, you know, like we always say, we have, you know, these people and the starters, and they kind of like freak out like, oh, spoilers, it's gonna ruin it. I'm like, are you serious? I literally just read almost everything about these games, and all it does is make me want to go do it more, because I still want to see it for myself, even though I know, like, the starters are a second stage evolution. I still want to go see it and, like, watch them evolve and see how it works into the story and what they say about the Ultra Beasts. And, like, in no way has it diminished me playing the game or wanting to play the game or my experience of playing the game or, you know, what it will be when I get it, in, you know, about a week or so.
Like, I was telling Brian in the right before we started, actually, you know, I'm still used to us not having international releases, so, like, I would be reading everything on Serebii for, like, months, because, you know, we would have to long wait, so I'm like, I'm not going to wait to find out. So
right, I would still go look at, like, Diamond and Pearl, I would still go look at, you know, oh, look, these are all the Pokemon that came out, here's Torterra and here's Electivire, Magmortar, only new Electivire, Magmortar, and Rhyperior, and Tangrowth, and I didn't just, like, you know, block out my eyes and walk around with a blindfold to not see spoilers. I'm like, no, it's not affecting me any. Let's do this shit. Like, you know, I'm very much in favor of knowing about the game in advance. And I like knowing these different evolution, you know, the methods and these types, and I'm glad to know the types. It helps me, you know, start to think about building a team, and it makes me curious to see how some of these type combinations work. You know, like fighting ice. Like, what's going on there? I wanna do this. Like, what's like, you know, how these golem, you know, how this version of golem works with its rock electric. I'm so interested in all of these Alolan forms.
It's gonna be interesting to see, like, if I end up picking that's gonna be Alolan forms and who's gonna be, like, just Alolan Pokemon, because, like, there's people like Vulpix that I sort of pegged from the beginning, but then I didn't expect to want to use Geodude, because I'm not a huge fan of the design still, but I really like the typing on it.
Yeah. Now, I thought of this also earlier, seeing as how,
fuck's sake,
now we see that Vulpix and Sandshrew, I am typing something on. So Vulpix and Sandshrew are version exclusive. Do you think that Sandshrew is also going to evolve with the Ice Stone and not just Vulpix?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah, just to keep it sort of to, cohesive.
To keep it, yeah, and also
so sort that of fair, I guess.
Fair, and also just a reason for both for having the Ice Stone is that if Sandshrew's a Ice Stone evolution, and otherwise then there's only one Pokemon that uses it, and it's only in one version of the game.
It's always Generation 8, where Young Goose is from.
Yeah. So, that was, I need this. We're now on the 10th, and we have to wait till the 18th, and I'm very upset.
The worst part's going to be how long is Amazon going to take to get it to my door. Because Call of Duty got here, like, at 4 o'clock, but Titanfall got here at noon, or 12:30, so I don't know. Which ones are you going to be? Going to be Titanfall or going to be Call of Duty? I did see that my Toys R Us had the Z-rings already. Which is kind of funny. There's really no need for it right now.
I'm waiting for HLJ.
Yeah, so am I. Otherwise, I would have gotten it and been like, hype, but yeah.
Need that plate.
Yeah. But
I just thought it was funny because like, I was like, well, there's nothing PR here. Let's see if there's any plushies or anything I want to get or impulse Pokemon buys, and then all of a sudden it's there, and it really blends in with everything else though, because there's nothing to indicate like, oh, Sun and Moon rings, it's just like Pokemon Z ring with Pikachu pictures all over it.
Well, and then what I really want is okay. to know how we're gonna get the rest of it, because I need the rest of the Z stones, there's no doubt about it. Obviously the rest of the types are they're presumably going to release 3-pack sets or whatever, you know, this is Japan, to finish it out or something. But then there's all of these ones for the different ones? Individual Pokemon. I'm like, I need that.
There's no room for plate. There's no plate.
Well, that was my next thing, is I need another plate to go with those stones. Which, how many are there, Brian? How many special Pokemon ones are there? Let me go to the...
I don't know, I stood up.
I'm going right now. I'm trying to. So let's see. There's special Pokemon ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Looks like 10.
For sure.
So I'm gonna need another plate with 10 slots that can hold those 10 Z stones, and I will be like the happiest person around. You know, you can't just give me a plate for these 18 and then not do the other ones. So I'm really hoping. I mean, I would think, given the way, you know, Japan does things, that with the games coming out, you know, next week, we should find out hopefully soon about more Z stones, because I mean, that's what they do with Toku stuff. Show's about to premiere. Here's your quarter two toys. Sixth Ranger revealed. Okay.
You know how it is.
So. Like.
Well, we talked about Pokemon quite a while. Should we move on to the DC TV stuff? No?
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess.
Well, there's not much too much else to cover, and pretty soon we'll have like the whole games to talk about.
Yeah.
Brian's just saying yeah in the background. Doesn't even know what we're talking about. Oh, Jesus. So, Supergirl, I'm honestly having a hard time remembering what the villain was this week, but I just remember the episode being a ton of fun because Mon-El having space Ichabod reactions to everything. Like, so just trying to talk on the phone without answering it.
A gang.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why they're so forgettable. But, like, I just thought it was, like, one of the funnest episodes of the season just because of all of Mon-El's reactions to everything.
It was great.
And the protection thing, a total Castiel move. You have protection? Like a sword?
I loved that. Then, like, and then Kara's reaction. And my angel blade. Kara's reaction to finding them about to do it was just hilarious. And then the Luthor mom is all up in Cadmus. giving out weapons to aliens and or giving weapons to alien weapons to people to make the aliens look bad because that's the thing we're doing.
It was just teased. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wasn't expecting it to be her. Like, I don't know.
I definitely hope that the daughter's not directly involved with it right now. Like, I think it would be too cliche at the moment for her to be turning on Carr or secretly be evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it'll be interesting either to have her not be evil and, like, totally defy your expectations, or it'll probably be more interesting if she does turn evil-ish later, but it's just too cliche to have her be evil right off the bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of like
especially given their, like, their friendship and everything that they got going on.
And the sort of parallels between the two of them. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want them to fuck it up.
I can kind of give or take the James stuff going on. Like, I do like his friendship with Wynn, but I honestly like the dynamic between him and Mon-El better. I kind of like the idea of Guardian. I don't hate the suit. I think the evolution of the suit will be cooler later, but it's just, I feel like the show's been doing so good without him that they're just kind of desperately trying to hang on to him at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the show's been, like, everything about the move has benefited Supergirl so much, and James is the only thing that's kind of not necessarily really suffered where it's, like, glaringly bad or something. It's just, like, obvious that that was the one area they had problems with.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree. Like, I liked him in the first season, but now that we have so much going on, it's like he's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, and it just seems weird having him in Catco and stuff, and I don't know.
I like him with a baseball bat and a hoodie. Reminds me of Dawson with a baseball bat.
Is that like a Negan joke? I don't understand what's happening.
Is that a Negan joke?
I don't know. I don't know things. But yeah, that's like really the only thing that I have really wrong with this season. Because everything else has just been such a huge improvement. Not that it was terrible or anything last season, but it's just, it feels like they really can be themselves here on the proper network.
Mm-hmm. And then,
I loved it when,
Little Gray Lena came out, that was the thing.
And Wynn came out from under the... under the table.
We weren't doing, like, sex. Like, you know... I love that they called it Operation Doubtfire. I was surprised. I guess they didn't have the budget to fit John in this episode to do what they did when they faked Cat out and have him play Kara or Supergirl.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
I guess they just wanted an excuse for it to be kind of fun and funny.
Mm.
It worked out fine. I'm kind of curious, like, what Mon-El's costume's going to end up looking like. I know that, like, all the Superman, like, you know, umbrella people don't have masks, but I think it's funny that, like, she picked the glasses for him so that in the future, that's his disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I wonder when someone's going to catch on that all their disguises are glasses.
Yeah, like, I was surprised he didn't comment on that and, like, possibly request a mask or something. Like, I think it would be funny if Barry commented on it at some point, given that he's the one that mentioned it to Oliver. Like, I don't think they would ever, you know, give her a mask. But it would just be
give
funny.
Mon-El grease paint.
That would be funny. But it's just funny considering Barry commented on the grease paint, but not on her non-disguise.
I think it would be even funny just if Mon-El, like, man, like, there's just some, for some reason, grease paint laying around it. The DEO, and he just says, what if I just use this?
That would be stupid. I think they even made fun of that in a later season at Arrow. I think it was, like, in the flashbacks.
I think so.
I just dropped everything at once in the universe. But yeah, I don't have too much else to say. It was just a really fun week.
I always enjoy Supergirl.
Flash this week was out of control. I mean, the changes that Flashpoint made to the timeline this week.
Run, Barry, run.
I'm still curious how they're going to... I'm curious whether they're going to have everything take a week off or if they're going to double up Flash 1 week because they have to get back in sync for the crossover. So
I don't know.
That'll be a thing. I mean, I think it's like No Tomorrow or something after Flash, so they could probably easily double up, which might be the easiest thing, mainly because I don't want to have a week without three shows. But Arrow this week, I thought, continued to be good. I'm just really loving it. I'm loving all the callbacks to season one between just small like aesthetics things like the tennis ball practice, which is something did in season one, but even just the storyline of it, tying it back to the list from season one, I think is really cool. I don't think it's Lance. I think that's a red herring. It's too early. I think that Prometheus set him up, you know, probably planted the weapon and cut his arm, knowing that Artemis cut his arm there. He's like, hey, remember in Spider-Man 1 when Willem Dafoe noticed that his arm was cut? And he was, my arm was cut, and I was like, oh, snap, that's the Green Goblin. Let's do that. I don't think it's going to happen because the actor is somewhere else, and I'm not sure how much of him they could get, but I think it would have been really cool if it was Tommy. Prometheus, like, because
I've seen that theory floating around, and I totally support it.
Like, because there was a really
cool... Would it be a Flashpoint thing? Like, he didn't die, he just...
Well, there was a really cool theory last year as well about why Malcolm was so adamant about not using the pit, because... the pit, because he'd used it on Tommy, and Tommy had came back wrong, and that he's been kind of hiding Tommy away, and there was a... it was like a rumor slash theory last year, and I think that that could be really cool.
One of those Lockwood caves. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because that would explain why Tommy's gone all dark side. So it would be really cool because he's on a different show, but if they could get him back just for this specific storyline, you'd only need him for like maybe what, 5 episodes, like with his face, if you're closing him up with a mask.
Yeah.
And then if we just killed him off again, then you don't need him again, but it would just be really cool, and like it would really be a more meaningful connection back to season one, especially with all the things they're doing with that this year. There was a couple really funny humor moments I liked in this week. Oh, I loved Felicity's cleanup on aisle 12. I'm really just loving Curtis. In general, like him immediately making light of Oliver being a killer, like too soon.
We thought you were gonna kill us. Too soon.
You know how it is.
Oh, you.
I thought it was really touching at the beginning when Oliver didn't want to bring the others and pretended it was because he didn't want to bring them in, but it's just because he wanted some quality dolly time. I thought he was like, you know how it is. but it was interesting to see them. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm just really happy to love the show again. Like, it's really good this season.
How much I'm looking forward to it every week. It's like on the same level I was looking forward to The Flash last year. And it's like for different reasons, but it's like it reminds me of back season 2 and then I guess early season 3 before it started going that I was looking forward to it. And I thought it was interesting to see them finding out about the list and stuff to show how far Oliver has come. Yeah. And, like, little things like Curtis not knowing that he was the Arrow and Green Arrow, because they kind of... It's kind of a mess when you think about it. I'm like, 97% sure that they'd never intended to call him the Green Arrow, and they only did it because the fans. Yeah. And... because, like, The Flash ended up doing so well. The same thing with Starling City, which I still like the name Starling City better, honestly. And I actually kind of just like The Arrow better than Green Arrow, but... you know how it is. The fans. Gotta get the real fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought... Hyenas? That was nice. Hyenas?
Hyenas.
I also, continuing to like the flashbacks, I thought this week was another continuation of last week's good pacing, where it's still not quite like season 1 or 2 where they're really long scenes, but they don't feel as quick, and it feels like there's actually, for lack of better phrasing, like a start-to-finish plot each week of the flashbacks, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, season 4 were just such increments that I couldn't remember, like, one episode from the other outside of something like Constantine's. Where, but, like, with these, they do seem to have, like, a memorable little arc in each one, so you can differentiate them instead of just flashing back. Nadia! Flashes back again. Flashes back again. Dance, monkey, dance! I go make bowling! So, it's just... I'm happy. I hope it doesn't go down. It's just, it's doing so good right now. Don't fail us now. The only negative I can say is that I don't think it'll Lance will be Prometheus, but I'm kind of over his drinking. It's like, you still have one daughter left. It's fine. And plus, there's like a bazillion other Laurels on different Earths, so it'll be fine. See, that could be cool. Another reason that Tommy would be a cool choice for Prometheus is because he could possibly... One of his motivations could be because Laurel died getting involved with it. And then maybe he does some sort of weird Lazarus pit voodoo and brings zombie Laurel back. I don't know.
Laurel!
It's just Laurel saying her own name like a Pokemon. That's all she can say now. Laurel! Need Laurel! She just reminds everyone she's a zombie every week in combat. Zombie punch! Zombie scream! Classic zombie Laurel. Okay, so... A week ago, Legends, I'm trying to remember. Oh, it was zombies! Holy crap!
Civil War.
It's all connected! You know how it is.
That was so much fun.
It was a really good episode, like... I love how it actually was able to take a more actual serious look at that time period via Jax, but also have some really funny moments, like any of Stein's reactions to zombies were just gold.
Don't say it!
Thing was hilarious.
Yeah. Like, and I like how whenever it just came near him, he was just like, ah! And I love, like, I keep wanting to call him Shaw so badly. Ray, wanting to call him Marty. He's like, can I call you Marty? It was just... I like how this episode managed to essentially have three different storylines going on, because you had, like, Sarah and Steel over at the camp, and then you had, like, the slave storyline with them trying to get the plans, and then you had, like, this little mini bottle zombie episode going on, and it all kind of worked together, which was kind of great. I also want to point out how funny Stein's intro is. But please, don't call us heroes. We are legends. It sounds so funny and, like, overpronounced. It's my favorite. Oh. Mm. It is funny. And this week, yeah, I guess it's this week. It's literally today. It looks like we're actually going to be getting on the trail of a main storyline. I like how when they brought Amaya on, they're like, all right, we need to find Rex's killer and your captain, right? They're like, yeah, but like in the meantime, we're just going to totes have some fun, you know, messing up history, you know, ninjas, zombies, you know how it is.
Yeah, I like Vixen. Vixen's really fun. And she's totally not even pretending to be Rebecca anymore, so that's even better.
Who's Rebecca?
Michelson?
Oh, yeah, I heard about the body swapping thing. I stopped watching that, like, in season one. So I don't... I know that George told me they body swapped.
They body swapped, and it was pretty insane. There's a lot of craziness going on, and, like, they body swapped, and that's how they brought Finn and Cole back at first, because they were dead. They killed them, is that they were in different bodies. And but then they ended up, Finn ended up getting trapped in a necklace worn by Freya, the other sister that they never met.
Classic.
And then they both got their regular bodies back, but now they're all linked together to Klaus, and they're all like hidden away, and they think they've like killed Klaus, but they haven't or something. They think they've I don't remember. It's weird.
I remember when George was telling me about the body swapping, I was thinking how weird it was, but then I remembered when Klaus first appeared, he was in Alaric's body.
Yeah.
Classic Vampire Diaries mess around. Body swapping, getting trapped in necklaces.
So that was nice. But like, and I guess now that she's no longer... Because they killed her, and so then, like, Rebecca was forced back into her own body or something like that. They did something, like, or they, like, removed her out of her body and then, like, killed her so that she couldn't go back into it and was stuck in her, like, original Michelson body, which I'm fine with because Claire Holt is hot.
I hate when you get forced back into your own body. It's just so rude.
I'd much rather be inside someone else's body.
Body!
But, so that's the thing. So I'm like, well, now that she's not doing that, she can come be here and be Vixen and be awesome.
Vixen 2.0, that's really 1.0.
Yeah.
So like 1.5. I'm curious what her resolution is going to be for, like, staying with the team after they solve this, like, Rex issue, unless, like, they don't solve it until the end of the season, and it's kind of up in the air whether she's in season 3 or not. But, because I like having her on the team. She, like, fits in well, and it's, like, it was kind of just so seamless.
We also found out that Barry's message has to do with the crossover.
Yeah, so.
It's a war coming.
Something's got to be done about your kids, Jax. What? I'm just kidding. You're not going to have kids. You're just going to die on the ship with Stein. You know how it is. Like, I kind of assumed it was going to have something to do with the crossover, but given that there's a lot going on with Legends on its own, you never know. Like, the prep's kind of more low-key this time. Like, there was so many moving parts. It's partly because not only did they have to set up a crossover last year, but they had to set up a spinoff. But, like, around this time, every single show, and by every single show I mean two, because it seems like there's more now, but there was less before. Jeez, it really blew up this year when you think about it. Because, like, last year we were setting up for Legends with the two shows, and now we have four shows. But... I kind of like that though. Like, I'm curious to see what all the various pieces of setup are going to be, but I like that it doesn't feel like we're being interrupted or like there's too much going on because they have all these different goals to accomplish. Yeah. And luckily, we don't have to introduce any stupid Hawk people this time.
I was a barista yesterday. Now I have wings.
She's like the DC TV Coda.
Yesterday I was a barista.
I love that cover on Entertainment Weekly of like Barry, Kara, and Ollie, and then it took me forever to see that the Atom is all tiny up like on the top of the E. It's like the most Legends thing they could have done for that cover. It's like the Legends are just so understated. But please don't call them heroes; they are Legends. Classic Marty. So, yeah. Pokemon! That doesn't even make sense. I just didn't have, like, a weird thing to say for them. Except for the please don't call us heroes thing. But that's really about it. I can't think of any other shows. Is everyone caught up on The Walking Dead? We've never talked about that yet.
I am caught up. I actually just watched the newest episode tonight. I am very much in love with John Winchester. He's the best thing. Like, I liked him in the season finale of last season when you first saw him as Negan. And everything he's done so far, he is so amazing. Like,
he's okay. He's good. It's just I'm not like, oh my god.
I like the way he just like struts around and is just completely insane. Like, he's tormenting Daryl, and he's just like, you know, he's like, waving around Lucy, like, nah, you're lucky Lucille's not thirsty today. He's like, but I am. So go get me a drink.
I thought he was going to, like, drink him or something. Like, that's Rick's move.
Like, he just is completely nuts, and I love it. It's hilarious. And of course, all I can think is it's John Winchester. And
yeah. Just got to call the boys up. Dad's been possessed. I feel like I read it a while back because I did read a little bit of background info on him from the comics out of curiosity, but I don't remember anything about his like pre-apocalypse background. Like, I'm curious to see what his pre-life was like, because he's done kind of a heck of a thing to essentially.
I think I read what he was like. He was a gym teacher or something like that. Like,
really?
And like, yeah, like, and then the Lucille. Let me see. Hold on.
He was a little league coach.
Put me in, coach. Walking Dead comic book. Let's see. List of the Walking Dead characters. Let's see. The fuck? Oh, let's see. The Saviors. Skip straight down to Negan. So. Alright, scroll down. Where is. Let's see. Oh, I don't want a description of all that. Where's the.
Just Google, what is Negan's job?
What is Negan?
What is Negan? Whoops, it filled in, what is Gotham?
I thought I read that somewhere, but I just don't remember where. Like, cause I know they were, that, unless it was just something that, like, he said, like, the creator said, because they were talking about, like, his gonna be like putting in his Negan's origin or something.
Because I'm just curious, like, because he's done such an interesting setup for his like community, where like with the governor, it was like it's easy to understand how it amassed, because it was basically just a charismatic guy who happened to find a really good location and then set up a community. So it's not hard to understand how that community got set up, and like all the other antagonists have kind of been like that, whereas him, he's just this one guy that somehow has gotten people to essentially worship him in a manner and out of fear, and it's just this really disturbing, interesting setup, and I'm just curious how he got it together just starting as one person.
Well, Cliff, like, says, here's Negan, chapter one. Before the outbreak, Negan is playing ping pong in his garage with some of the neighborhood boys who attend the school where he works. The boys refer to him as Coach Negan. After defeating and belittling one of the boys, they run off and he instantly expresses regret about his behavior. His wife, Lucille, comes out to yell at him, and Negan expresses his desire for the students to respect him by being the cool teacher outside of school. Lucille then suddenly collapses.
And turns into a bat. The show's about magic.
I think, like, the way I thought I understood it is something about, like, his wife dies, and then, let's see, here we go. I don't know, maybe not. Let's just talk about when he kills Glenn. Let's see, it doesn't say anything, but that, I guess, like, his wife died, and then, like, I guess that made him crazy or something, I don't know.
Classic.
That's a good quote. I just slid my dick down your throat and you thanked me for it.
Oh, Jesus.
It goes with this. Negan also forces Rick to hold Lucille while he scavenges the safe zone when Denise threatens the Savior for taking important medical supplies, and Rick attempts to reason with Negan. Negan tells the group that their big wall is the only medicine they need. Before Negan departs, he retrieves Lucille from Rick and whispers, "I just slid my dick down your throat, and you thank me for it."
Oh, Jesus.
He's got the best line.
He's something else. But I'm just curious how he got a setup going. Because, like, yeah. It's basically like a fearmonger thing, and, like, these people do have a good setup, but they basically have to, like, be slaves and say they're Negan and give up their wives, and...
Yeah.
I think the season's been pretty good so far. I was kind of annoyed at the structure of the premiere, because they make you wait for months, and then we didn't find out who got killed until, like, more than halfway through. And it just seemed pointless. Like, it was to drag it out. Like, he literally just took Rick out and threw him in to fight zombies randomly to kill 20 minutes time. And it just came off as really gimmicky, and it was kind of stuff that pissed me off about the storytelling from last year, where the show's always been like who's gonna die, but it's never been like made fanfare and gimmicky bullshit about it. It's more like anyone can die at any time because of the way the world is, and like it just seems like they're really taking advantage of it recently. But it was surprising because I didn't think they would go for Glenn because they faked us out last year, and I like when they deviate from the comics, and given that I thought they were going to deviate and they already faked us out, it was a surprise.
But the way they did it, though, they set it up because they did deviate from it because he killed Abraham.
Yeah, it was because of Daryl.
Like, right, and they killed Glenn because of Daryl, and so then that just sets up like a story and an arc for Daryl. And yeah. I'm waiting for, because then in this episode they're just fucking torturing him. They kidnapped him, and now they're just torturing him, trying to make him into a savior. And
although I thought it was funny that like when they escape, they're like, "You better turn yourself in, or it'll get much worse." But then like it was just the exact same thing. Like he got beat up a little bit, but it was like really nothing, like no consequences, just the same cat food, dog food.
So I don't know, but it's I was waiting. I'm like any minute now, you know, Daryl's gonna just like rise up and just beat the shit out of you.
I feel like he might eventually submit, but not like in a broken way, but possibly in a way to like maneuver himself out, like, you know, to get himself in Negan's inner circle. Mm. Like, because there's really no other way out at this point. I felt kind of bad that Abraham's death got a little bit overshadowed by Glenn, though, even though he got the best line before he died. Yeah.
Like, and I kind of feel bad about I feel like I was more upset about Abraham being dead than I thought I was going to be.
Like I liked Abraham, but I wasn't too mad. Like when after all that bullshit of dragging it out and then they revealed it was Abraham, I was like, Shaun of the Dead, they're like, has the mom been bitten? No, but Philip has. I was like, oh, okay. Like, oh, it's just Abraham. Like, and then they killed Glenn. I got off easy.
Yeah, like, I mean, I kind of, you know, I do miss him. I just kind of figured, because I read who died before I watched this. I was like, okay, well, Abraham dies, whatever. And then I was like, I kind of feel worse than I thought I would about it. Like, I mean, I liked him. I kind of miss him. I'm not, like, overly sad about it, but he was fun to have around.
Yeah, he was fine. It's just, like, he's not someone that I'm really, he didn't fill a huge void. It was, like, a perfect safe choice where it was someone recognizable and popular, but it wasn't like Glenn or Daryl levels, and then they turn around and did Glenn.
I think part of the reason is that because of having someone like a Daryl who's not in the comic, and so a lot of the things that other people like Abraham might have done where you would like them more went to Daryl.
Apparently, like, that's Tyrese. Like, Tyrese is, like, way more important in the comic. He's, like, Rick's right-hand man, and so Daryl has basically taken that role. I think I talked about that a few weeks ago when I read, like, differences between the characters, and it said Daryl, and it just said, he's Tyrese. Like, he took all of his roles.
Yeah, well, Norman Reedus is just awesome. But, and I think he might have took, like, Abraham, I think, did more in the comic also than here.
Well, and then you have stuff also, like, in the comic, Laurie was actually, not Laurie, what's her name?
Andrea?
Andrea. Her actress name is Laurie. Andrea was like, she's the one that gets together with Rick later, and she's like alive and more important. And yeah. Michonne like gets together with Ezekiel.
But Carol was like a little bitch. But
yeah, I think Carol
died.
She's
just like, I'm a psycho.
I think she killed herself too, or something. She like never was this.
No, so this is much better. Now, since you mentioned Ezekiel, how do you feel about Aqualad?
I totally didn't know that was him until Talking Dead. So that surprised me. Because of like all the costume and whatnot. But I think that's also a really interesting community. I loved Carol's reaction to it.
Like, I loved everything. I think the tiger looks really good. I like the tiger.
Well, and I love Carol's like fake bullshit that she puts on, cracks me up every time. Of like, oh, I'm just a hapless little woman that bakes cookies, and inside she's like a ninja assassin. And I think it was interesting that he actually called her out on it, and they kind of both are putting on roles. I think all of it's just kind of interesting because it's kind of getting into this area of the comic that I know of where it's just kind of a bigger world than the Rick's group, because you have like, Alexandria and then the Saviors and then Ezekiel's place with the Kingdom.
The Hilltop.
Yeah, Hilltop too. And then like there's like a Whisper War or something, which I get a feeling will be next season. And like it just kind of expands the whole world. And I'm kind of curious how long Negan will last, because from what I gather, he stays around quite a while in the comics.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling that he might just be this season for us. Like, he might die.
They might wrap it up faster because of, like, money reasons, or just to...
I don't know. Like,
Because of the TV show.
Partly because of that, but Walking Dead also makes a lot of money. But I also just feel like the way they keep talking and the vibe I get from it is that there has to be some sort of payoff at the end of the season, like to sort of counteract the premiere. Like it just would seem weird if the premiere was just as dark and hopeless as the finale was just as dark and hopeless as the premiere. Like, I think that if he doesn't die at the end of the season, that there'll be some sort of victory. Like possibly they'll break away from him in the finale. It just would seem weird to leave it like that. Because I could see them killing him off at the end of the season and then leading into, like, the Whisper War stuff or whatever that is, since they have all the communities set up. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Because it would be interesting to have a longer-term villain like that.
Yeah, and also just more Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm enjoying it so far. I want to go back to the Kingdom and see Ezekiel some more and Carol and see what's going on there. And man, it's not fun watching them torture Daryl. You just want to poor Daryl.
Apparently, actually, the original episode airing order was the first one, and then the Daryl one, and then the Kingdom. But they switched it because they wanted to have like a happier episode in between instead of just like straight from carnage to torture, which I think worked because there wasn't anything like consequential that was narrative, because everything's so they're like three separate movies almost. So yeah, I thought that.
I mean,
worked.
That makes sense.
And I liked it. It was just kind of a nice little break. It'll be nice to get back to the group though. Like I want to see what's going on with the group, but at least I think that breaking up the different faction storylines this time worked better than, hey, Glenn might be dead. Let's go take a trip to a farm.
So, well, I mean,
that's working out better. Well, he's dead now. You all right? No.
So yeah, Brian, definitely looking forward to see where we're going at with stuff this season.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. I gather from how much Brian's been involved in this that he's not only caught up, but he's like seen the whole season bootleg. He didn't want to spoil that Negan kills everyone. The show's just about him now. It's just called Negan.
you know it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So now it's time for...
Oh, wait. We have one more thing we need to mention. Unless what? You mentioned it before I was here, which I don't think you would have. Young Justice is getting a season 3.
Oh, how did we forget about that? That's the best news ever. That should have been the top headline.
It should have, honestly.
We had to save the best for last. There we go.
I'm so happy and surprised, not only just because it's coming back, but you've probably both, along with me, have seen the countless like fake Young Justice got renewed articles.
Yeah, like, and it's really upsetting and hurtful.
Yeah, you see them all the time, and then people link you to them. So like when I woke up from, like, I was napping, so like I woke up and like I was just like kind of groggily checking my phone and see like Young Justice season 3. I'm like, ha, 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 very funny. And then like I got up and actually got on the computer. I'm like, oh shit, this is legit.
This is DX. Like,
yeah, like I was surprised. And it doesn't say anything about how it's airing. I thought it was going to be Netflix just because of all the fake articles that have brainwashed me over the last year.
Yeah, like I thought about that too. Like they haven't revealed how they're releasing it, which. At the moment, I don't care as long as I know they're in production.
Yeah.
They can tell me later.
And I hope it's not just like I don't want to be greedy, but I hope it's not just, okay, here's season 3. Oh, wow. Thanks, everyone. I hope that like whatever it is does well and then it keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be great.
I would love that.
So,
I'm doing my Pokemon tournament on Monday, and I just get a text from Aerosol that says, it's happening with that with that teaser image. And I just respond, holy shit, in big capital letters.
Now if only Green Lantern could have come with it.
I know.
Giggity.
Poor Green Lantern. You were so young.
They couldn't come together.
They had to finish at separate times. You know how it is. It's hard to coordinate that shit. Alright, but now it's time for...
Final thingies! I have a thingy and it's not final. But it is inside your mom's ass.
So, next week, for sure, will be TTMF. If it's not, there will be no consequences. But I promise that it will be. Oddly enough, when I thought it was last week, I picked out questions. So, weebly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey.